use this one. Hi, everybody. Can we please have a seat? I realize it is a good chance to, you know, come together and have a chat between sessions, but I have a time constraint and I need to run to another meeting and I don't want to not do the presentation, so I will just continue. It's okay, I can use this one, that's fine. So, this always happens here with me. This is the remote participation services at ICAM41 presentation. Why would you like to be here? Is because you might be here in person and you may not need these services at this meeting, but it's always good to know what kind of services we are providing so that if the next meeting, for some reason you are not here, you can use these services still to follow up on the meeting. Besides, as I said, if you have colleagues back at home who are interested in these issues, then you can always let them know about these, because this meeting, we are using these services to the full capacity. All our rooms in Singapore receive these services, and if there are meetings that are not closed, they will be out there for observation at the least. Oh, okay. And that's my calendar. Right. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about why we are providing these, why do we put the effort out there, and how can you use them. Basically, when internet started about 30 years ago, it was like maybe connecting two PCs of two academic guys, and they were sending hellos and, oh yeah, I'm fine here, and how are you type of messages. Since then, it moved beyond, and it became almost a utility now. People like having electricity, they are looking for internet connection on their residential areas as a feature now. And people pay bills over it. We just use it as a utility almost. So there is no discussion about that. And what are we doing here? We are having an internet-related conference, right? So the idea is, why are we not using this utility to make sure that we expand our audience through these services? Because we are actually talking about internet, so let's use the benefits of the internet to bring people more into discussion. So it is cost effective in the sense that people don't need to be here in person. I'm not going to say face-to-face communication should be challenged by remote participation or remote communication. Face-to-face communication has its power in a lot of ways in terms of human interaction. But at the same time, there are constraints. There are time issues. I mean, you may have family issues that you can't be right here in person, but you still want to follow up what's going on the new GTLDs, for example. You don't want to be cut off. So we want to provide you the opportunity to be here virtually at the least. And for our benefit and the community's benefit, that widens up the almost the capacity of the community, because it enables wider inclusion. It's not only 80 people here in the room, but there will be some other 20 or 30 people on the virtual rooms chatting who are actually interacting with the rest of the group here. So ICANN has made a commitment on the board level as well for these services, and as a staff, we are very committed to make sure that these services work for the ICANN community to their best benefit. Now, our goals are basically equalization of the participation. So what I mean by that, when you're here physically in a room, having a discussion, for example, there will be a public forum on Thursday, which we hope you will all be there. This is the forum where ICANN community comes and talks about various issues. So there you will have the chance of your microphone time and go and be able to ask questions to the ICANN board or to the rest of the community, or make a comment. Now, while you're doing that, we will allow, obviously, that session to the remote participants too, and they will have a voice there as well. Even if they are not maybe standing by the mic, they will be able to post their comments and questions, so somebody will read out for them. So this kind of equalization I'm talking about. Nobody has more precedence here just because they are here in person, but virtual rooms are receiving the same attention in that sense. And we want to make sure that we provide tools in a way that we don't disadvantage those connections, maybe with a bit of, maybe with lower bandwidth. So we provide several different services. I'll talk about that in a minute. So what do you need is basically the minimum requirement to follow up the meetings virtually or remotely is basically a low bandwidth would do for you. Minimum of 128 kilobytes per second will work for you. And then you will need a web browser. What you get from that is basically you can listen to the live streaming, the voice, audio streams. You can join in the chat rooms and interact with the other participants. And you can read the live scripts. There will be a transcription followed during the meetings. And then you will have the presentations to be downloaded. For example, for this meeting, if you go to the right slot for this one, a PDF version of this same presentation is already made available on the website. So basically, you download that, you use your bandwidth while downloading that presentation, but you are done with that then. It is local for you, and then you can move on with the listening to the streaming. And but if you have a higher bandwidth, a faster connection, then you may opt for going for the conferencing tool that we are providing. It's called Adobe Connect, and I'll go for the details. In that case, what you will need, in addition to the web browser, you will also need the Flash Player. This program, Adobe Connect, is a combination of video, audio, and chat in one go. So if you have the enough bandwidth to carry all these modules of the system in one screen, then that may be the thing for you, because it will be just, you will fire it up and it will be up there for you. You don't need to juggle between windows. What you will get is the same, the live recorded audio streams, chat rooms, live scripts, transcriptions, and you will see the real-time presentation. So for this meeting, again, what's happening out there for the remote participants, they are following it, if they're following it up on the Adobe Connect screen, they are seeing these things presentations are flipped. However, that depends on depending on which room we are in. There is also the camera in some rooms, so there will be video as well. This one is not recorded in that sense. So how do you do it? Basically, it is very simple, and we try to keep a similar format for all meetings so it doesn't change the look and it doesn't confuse people. All you need to do is really checking the schedule. And all the links that are necessary, it will be provided there. If you, for example, I took snapshots from this meeting, and I don't know if you can, yeah, it's not too bad on the screen. If you click on the schedule, you will see already the option for remote participation schedule. If you are already following the meeting remotely, that maybe is the one that you want to follow, because everything is listed there, all the necessary links for audio and the presentations, the Adobe Connect rooms, the streaming, everything is linked there. Or you can go and check the session details if you are interested in more like seeing all the details in one go per session, then you can go to the, for example, ICANN public forum session page, and there you will see the details of the audio cast, for example. If you are on low bandwidth, you can choose under the audio cast, listen to the English, Spanish, and French, and I think we are providing Chinese in this meeting too. There are links there for each of these translations. So the next thing you can do is joining the chat room. Again, there is a link under there. And also you can monitor the Scribe feed. You will see in your window how, as people in the room speak, there will be a transcription feed on your screen. Now, if you are using high bandwidth services, and what I realize, I think this is getting more and more attention nowadays, the high bandwidth one, as a choice. Maybe this is also related about internet connections is getting better throughout the world, especially with the mobile sector moving ahead very quickly. So the Adobe Connect connections that we receive has been, there is an increase that we see in the number of connections. So I'm thinking this is working for a lot of people, more people now. What you can do still, if you want to check if it is going to work for you or not, you can do the test. There's a test which tests your local machine, if you have the necessary flash player and etc., as well as your speed, if it is going to work for you. You can do that at the link that we provide. And then all you have to do is, again, going to the session detailed page, the session page for that session you're going to follow up. On this example, we have ICANN Public Forum. And then looking at the under the remote participation high bandwidth. And all the necessary links are listed there. And you will see, in this case, there is a virtual meeting room link. We call it the virtual room. And what you get is first a screen to log in. And you can log in as a guest. You can name yourself whatever you want to, but we will need a nickname for you to be identified in the chat room, obviously, as a person instead of a machine, maybe. And then once you are in, you will have just one window with the video, with the transcription, the transcript, the Scribe feed, the presentations, the slides, followed by another window with all the people in the chat room, and notes, possible notes. We put up, this session starts at this time or ends at this time. You can see the agenda at this link, possibly the survey. This time I'm trying to get more input about these services, so we have a link provided in the session pages. So how do we interact? So these are the tools, okay? As internet regular users, I believe we are all aware of how to interact on a chat room, how it works, how do we talk to the other people, etc. But sometimes, some sessions, especially like a public forum, it has a high volume. There are more people there. It is since it's a very there are generic issues there being talked through. You get all the groups, all the people of the ICANN community in one room almost. For those sessions where we have higher volume of participation, putting forward questions up and comments, we provide forms because we want to make sure that we get the right question from the remote participants. It can be quite hard in a crowded session trying to read that from a chat window, which is tiny, yeah? And we want to make sure it's more organized and people have a bit of more nicer interface to draft off their comments and questions that they see important. So we provide forms, and these forms will be linked again from the meeting page. Okay, everything is on the session page. Basically, what you need to do is go to the session that you are interested on schedule, and all the tools and the links will be provided for you there. Now, just a quick wrap up here. What basically we provide remote participation services, and this is ICANN is not the only forum that is or the organization doing that. These tools are out there for a lot of conferences nowadays. According to what you're using, it's important you get the necessary details about these tools. So the basic idea is joining there, depending on your bandwidth, choosing the right bandwidth for yourself, and then interacting with others through the chat rooms or the virtual meeting rooms. So you can opt for the conferencing tool or the modular low bandwidth services. The main thing is we want to make sure that we interact with each other in an appropriate way. We are all human beings, and chat rooms are also used as informal chats among participants. It's not always what you write there is a question to be submitted. It might be just a comment for those in the rooms. But we want to make sure that there is civility and basic standard of behavior is maintained in these chat rooms. So we provide those principles in a link, and we mention that. This is not to say, certain words shouldn't be used here and there. It's not like censorship. It's just to make sure it's our duty when you facilitate a forum for people to come together and interact with each other. We also want to make sure that people interact in an acceptable way for everybody. So these are the links for that. And if you see these mentioned there, don't be alarmed. It is a standard thing that we are doing. And now, these tools, obviously, now we are in the meeting, all the staff is in the meeting here, and we are seeing these tools from one end, but it's another story from the user's end. We can only improve these if we know what you experience about these in reality. So we are really interested in getting feedback. If you have any chance, even here during in the meeting area, while you might be you have the chance to get into a room and listen to something in person, but if you are curious how these work while you are in the lobby chatting your friend, oh, let me see what they are discussing in the room there. Please go and test things and let us know. The way you can let us know, some of you know Janice already from the fellowship program. You have good relationships with her. Write to me. Our ICANN email addresses are very standard. If you know somebody's name and surname, you will manage to figure out how to reach them by mail. It's name.surname@ICANN.org. So mine is phyllis.yilmaz@ICANN.org. And if you want to write it to more to a role account kind of email address, which might be easier for you to remember, is participate@ICANN.org. And this is the case for any kind of participation comments you may have. It's not only, remote participation, but also if you have any comments, for example, how we are doing these presentations now and your experience out of the newcomers track sessions of Sunday, please let us know through the same email address. And for those people who you might alarm or you might drop a note back at home, look, I'm here, but you can also follow these meetings through these tools. Please let them know they can do the same thing through a survey. This is the link. We are very keen on receiving feedback about these tools. So, after the meeting, at the end of this week, what you will see in those pages will not be very different, but there will be the recordings there. So if you have not been able to attend one of the parallel sessions, don't, wear yourself out being in one meeting and trying to connect to the other one virtually, but you will find the information after the meeting. All of them will be recorded and put there. So a few links for your information. These slides are on the web page again, as I mentioned, so you can find them out there. And thank you for staying here. I know we often lose blood after the first, but it is hard to give a remote participation services presentation to the people on site, right? But there were people who were connecting from outside, I hope. So thanks for being here. Thank you.
And Liz, I want you to know that we had folks who were watching and learning from you as we went and signing in and then commenting on that. So, I mean, truly, it does make it easier if you come here and learn, and we could see it happening real time. So I just wanted you to know that. It was good. Really good.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. And the welcome to ICANN is at 1:30 right here, and we'll take you through some more good tips for how to get through the week. So get some lunch. There's lots of spots. On all four floors, especially the basement. I'll give you that hint. Really good stuff down there. And we'll see you back here at 1:30.